Welcome to another edition of the Wahoo Central Podcast, which comes to you each week from the McHugh Center at the University of Virginia. I'm Jeff White, Director of News Content for VirginiaSports.com, and back for a second appearance on this podcast is Mike Archer, Associate Head Coach of the UVA football team, for which he also coaches the linebackers. Mike, thanks for popping upstairs. How's it going?
Oh, it's going well, Jeff. Glad to be here.
The Orange-Blue game is Saturday evening at Scott Stadium. This will be the team's 15th and final practice of the spring. I know a number of players are dealing with minor injuries, and other players are still recovering from off-season operations. Given all that, have you been able to accomplish what you hoped to this spring?
I think at times, Jeff, we have. The scenario is a little bit different this year than what it was last year. In my opinion, last spring we had quite a few guys that had played a lot of football. Offensively, we did not, and the roles are kind of reversed. Yeah. You know, because of the injuries last year in the offensive line, they played a lot of people, and they've got a lot of guys with game experience. Conversely, we've lost, we've lost some pretty good football players. You know, the three that obviously stand out, you know, Anthony Harris, who, you know, I had the good fortune to coach, and Eli Harold and Max Vallis were three very integral parts of our defense, and you know, they're not here. And so we're right now very young, and with the injuries like you talked about, there's been some inconsistencies. Injuries are a part of the game. That's part of spring football. You know, that's part of spring ball everywhere. So the good thing is we should have everybody back healthy. We're going to get some guys back for these last two practices that have missed some time. The other guys will be back in August for training camp.
You've been a part of a lot of these spring games during your coaching career. How much importance do you attach to a player's performance in the actual spring game as opposed to a regular practice? Are there guys who, you know, just can't do in front of fans what they can do when nobody's really looking?
Well, I think it's very important. The more times you go to the stadium that you play in, Scott Stadium, the better off you are, because guys perform different there. You know, I always talk about, you know, when the lights go on, who's going to perform? Right. Because by human nature, there are some athletes that maybe don't practice very well, but all of a sudden they go in the stadium and boom, I mean, they're world beaters. Conversely, you have young guys, as we have. You know, last week we went in the stadium basically for the first full scrimmage. The scrimmage of the weekend before, we had to move into the George Wells Center because of the weather. They practice in there all the time. They're familiar with the surroundings. Last week we went over to Scott Stadium. We had a little 90-play scrimmage, and we had some guys that all of a sudden forgot the fundamentals, didn't do what they've been coached on all week when they got in the stadium. And that's, you know, every time you go in there, I'm a big believer that you make it easier the next time you go in. So hopefully those young guys that kind of, you know, weren't quite sure what it became street ball, in my opinion. They forgot what they were coached on. This weekend when we go into Scott Stadium, they'll perform better.
As you mentioned, you coached the safeties last season. Now you're with the linebackers. All things being equal, do you have a favorite position to work with?
No, not really. I mean, John and I talked about this last year when I came here. John had talked about coaching a secondary and coaching the safeties, and I would have taken the linebackers. But, you know, John made the decision because Dex was the safeties coach. It would be just as easy for me to fit in there. And, you know, we talked about this during the season last year, that next year, next spring, you know, we could evolve into switching, which, you know, we broke it down. I've coached the secondary 16 years, the linebackers for 16 years. I've been a head coach, and I've been a walk-around coordinator. So for the other 6 years. So it's equal, you know, and I enjoy it. I enjoy coaching. I enjoy the challenges of it. It's different. Coaching the linebackers is different than coaching the safeties and working with the secondary. So I look at that as a challenge. You know, we've got some challenges because we lost two pretty good football players, you know, in Henry Coley and Romo. And then you throw in Max came out early. So there's your three starting linebackers. And so it's a challenge. And hopefully our guys are going to respond to the challenge and, you know, we can replace them.
You added another title this year, that of associate head coach. What does that job entail, and do you now meet more often with Mike London than you would have last year?
Yeah, you know, I've taken over what Tom O'Brien did, you know, more of a sounding board for Mike so that when decisions are made, He can bounce things off you. You know, I've sat in that chair where Mike is sitting. A few years ago, obviously, but you know, LSU was a pressure cooker. It was big time football, and you know, you've got to see the whole picture. You know, that's the one thing I've learned in 38 years of coaching. You got to look at the whole picture and how it schematically fits into your program. And so, a lot of the things that I do are administrative, helping with the practice schedules, helping with the time frames, itineraries, et cetera, so that he can concentrate on the things that he needs to. Last year, I tried to help him because I was on the field was game management, right, of the clock, timeouts, et cetera, what we tried to do because, you know, everybody else was upstairs. John, Steve, and Tom were upstairs. So, you know, I feel very comfortable on the field. I've been on the field a lot. I've been in the press box a lot. But you have to make decisions. And basically, it's just, I'm a sounding board for Mike. And for him to, if he has a question, how would you do? Right. How would you handle this? I'll give him my opinion. But inevitably, it's his decision.
Are you going to be on the field again this
year? Oh, yeah. I'll be on the field again this year. And, I think it's important. John and I have worked together now going on, this is our fourth or fifth year. John is very good upstairs. Someone has to be on the field and be able to make adjustments, and it's important to me to be able to look our guys in the eye. You got to know what's their, what's the mood is, what's their body language, and so I think that's important, so I'll stay down there.
You were the head coach at LSU from 1987 to 90. In the years since then, has the job description of a head college football coach changed a lot? Among other things, there was no social media to worry about back then, and the players' lives weren't as open,
right,
for inspection by the outside world as they seem to be now.
The job description hasn't changed. It's still coach football,
yeah,
but the priorities and the time management and the exposure that you get now, no, totally different.
Are there more demands?
There's more demands, yeah, and there's more pressure. I think there's more pressure. When I was at LSU, I had a weekly talk show during the season. I had a television show. We had Tiger Rag, which was a periodical. Mm-hmm. There were not as many. There were radio talk shows, but you didn't have the internet. You didn't have the blogs. You didn't have all the different sources. You didn't have the recruiting services. So the amount of time now that a head coach, you're on the social media, you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, the different ways you can, speak or communicate with the recruits or alumni, et cetera, it was all written by hand. Now you have emails. it's different. I think it's created more pressure because of the amount of time that the head coach has to be involved in non-football-related things.
Before I ask you about the defense, let's talk about the offense. You go against those guys every day in practice. Points were hard to come by at times, mm-hmm, last season. Is there cause for optimism this year, especially with Grayson and Matt having gotten so much experience last year?
Well, I think there's the fact that both of those guys have played in big games last year is beneficial. I think the two new coaches in Dave Borbley and Chris Beatty have been a great addition to our staff. I had coached against Borbs when I was in NC State. He was at Louisville. We coached against him in the Belk Bowl, and we saw how physical their offensive line was. And I think our offensive line, because we have some depth there, because of the injuries last year, they're coming off the ball. And, I think they've done a great job this spring of running the football, becoming physical, and, basically stating, we're going to be able to run the football. And Chris coached at Wisconsin. He's coached at West Virginia. He's coached in big-time programs. He understands, number one, how to throw the ball, but also how to run the football.
Yeah.
So I think those two additions and the fact that our quarterbacks, and I like our receivers. I mean, we've got some big, strong guys. Kanan Severn has made some big-time catches. And, so I think that we have good skilled people. Obviously, losing Kevin, it was, mm-hmm, was a loss, but somebody has to step up. That's college football. And this has been a good physical spring, and it's helped us on defense because we're going to play five teams next year that are probably going to line up with more than one, more than one back, which was unusual last year.
T.J. Thorpe was wearing Carolina blue, mm-hmm, at this time last year. What do you think he'll add to the team, to the offense, to the special teams if he returns kicks?
Well, number one, he's going to add speed. Number two, he's returned punts. And, you know, with Kalik Shepard leaving, you know, that's a void that TJ can fill for us. And so, you know, coaching those guys, I'm very comfortable with him back there. And he brings a little charisma. You know, he's got a really a nice personality, and he's a fun kid to be around, and he has fun at practice. But I think he's going to bring a real positive influence to our football team.
You mentioned all three of the starting linebackers from last year are gone, Henry, Romero, and Max. How's the next generation, Micah Kaiser, Zach Bradshaw, C.J. Stocker, Mark Hall, that group coming along?
Well, you know, Micah had a really nice spring, and then, you know, he suffered a leg injury last week, so he's going to miss the spring game, but it's nothing serious. Zach Bradshaw, you know, has practiced the whole spring, and I think he's gotten better. Those are the two guys that have played more than anybody else, and we've got to count on them. C.J. Stocker came in as a freshman. He should still be in high school. Mm-hmm. You see his football knowledge. He played in a good program. You know, he went through the first 4 or 5 days. He's had some nagging injuries, so he missed a lot of time. We've gotten him back now. He'll play. You know, he's practiced now for about a week, slowly bringing him back. He'll play in the spring game, and, you know, hopefully he doesn't get banged up again. But the more that he plays and the more he gets in the stadium, you know, the better off he's going to be. Mark Hall has played a lot of football. You know, we've got to find a Sam linebacker. That's our big concern right now, where Max played. And, you know, that's where Mark has to step up. Or, you know, we have some freshmen coming in, Dominic Shepard, Eric Gallen, Simmons. You know, we got some guys that we're going to give opportunities in August to be on the airplane going out to L.A.
What about Jordan Jackson? He's a tall, athletic kid who redshirted last season. Mm-hmm. Is he making strides?
You know, he's been like all the other freshmen, inconsistent up and down, you know, but he has practiced every day. You know, we've had some injuries. We've had two Mike linebackers that haven't practiced but 2 days, 1 day. You know, we've had some injuries that have cost guys time, and there's really, you know, they can't make it up when you miss it. He has practiced all spring. He is a typical freshman. He has his periods of ineptitude, as I would call it, and he has periods where he does what he's supposed to do. He's got to become more consistent.
The defense recorded 34 sacks last season. Henry, Max, and Eli Harold combined for 24 of those. Where does the pass rush come from this year? Who has to step up in that role?
Well, we're not going to change a whole lot. You know, we're aggressive by nature. I mean, John is aggressive by nature. And, you know, college football, you can't just sit in base defense with a big X on your chest, because people know where you are, and they're going to spread you out, and they're going to run the ball. It's not rocket science. You know, it's really simple. They come up, and if they have more than you in the box, they're going to run it. If you have more than them in the box, they're going to throw it outside. So it's, you know, it's a chess match. And but, you know, we've got to create pressure through our linebackers, through our secondary, our down four guys. You got to try and get the matchups that you want. You got to overload. You got to take advantage of the back. There's different ways to do it. Every team that you play is different. So, but we have to create that pressure so that the quarterback doesn't sit back there all day and, you know, have a cigarette.
Kid Mike Moore, I know Mike's been kind of a power guy. He's played some inside. Does he have potential as a pass rusher?
Yeah, you know, Mike missed the spring with the shoulder surgery, and you know, he played the last part of the year with the injury. But he's got a big frame. He's played an awful lot of football for us. So yes, and he has to be one of those guys that has to. I think he and Quante Moore are guys that you know, along with David Dean. David's played a lot of football. Andrew Brown, Dante Wilkins. You know, those guys have Trent Corney. Those guys, you know, Trent Corney's had a good spring.
Right.
So has, you know, some of our younger guys that have potential, but we got to do it more consistent.
Henry, Day-Day, Max, Eli, Anthony Harris, they're all gone. I'm sure you wish some of these guys at least could stick around forever, but that's college football.
Right.
Do you enjoy, you know, as a coach, the challenge that comes with this turnover? It was probably a little different when you were coaching linebackers for the Steelers, right?
Well, it is, but it isn't, because you have changed. You have changed. I never had the same group of linebackers in the 7 years I was in Pittsburgh, either through free agent. You lose guys through free agency. Guys, you know, get more money, take more money. You cut guys. Guys are traded. So I never had the same core linebackers. I had the same starters at times, but the backups sometimes change. So college football is, you know, it is what it is. And you know, you're going to lose guys. What's become more popular now, guys coming out early, mm-hmm. like Eli, like Max. You know, and you can never anticipate it. We knew those were two pretty good football players. Eli, we kind of thought possibly would. You know, Max was a little bit of a surprise, but they got to do what's best for them and their families.
The recruiting class for 2015 consists of 23 players, including C.J. Starker and Grant Polk, who enrolled here mid-year. On the defensive side, will you need some of the new guys to contribute?
I don't think
right
there's any question. I don't think there's any question. You know, in particular, linebacker.
Yeah.
You know, for depth reasons, because we don't have a lot of numbers right now. That, you know, and we've got some guys hurt as we finish up spring. So I think that it's very reasonable that some of these guys that are going to their, you know, their senior proms here in the next 2 or 3 weeks are going to be playing football for us.
You worked with Quinn Blanding last season, and everybody knows what a great year he mm-hmm. had as a true freshman. What does he need to do to take that next step in his development as a football player?
Well, his overall knowledge of the defense. You know, last year he kind of followed the cue of Anthony Harris. Anthony was like a coach on the field. Anthony knew it like everybody, like a coach. So Anthony helped him get lined up, made the calls for him. Now Quinn has to step up in that role because that other safety, we're not sure who it could be. Will Wahi, it could be Maurice Kennedy, you know, it could be Rainey, you know, right. It's Kelvin Rainey. So that's Quinn's role now. He has to understand the whole picture of our defense. And that's where, as a freshman, no, he didn't know it. We didn't expect him to, but now we do.
Devontae Walker is a guy who has not done a whole lot here on the field. He's mm-hmm. been playing some as the nickelback. What has he done to kind of put himself in the mix?
Well, you know, last year when I got here, you know, I didn't hear a lot of positive things about him, you know, for whatever reason. Right. And, you know, and I talked to him one day, and we just had a good conversation. And, you know, all of a sudden he and I wasn't the only one to talk to him, but there was other coaches on our staff, you know, tried to get him to open up and speak, you know, and because he has ability. And he has come around. Yeah. I mean, he was he's a good kid. He's had some health issues that that really had nothing to do with football, right. You know. And so, in this spring, we've killed the poor kid because of injuries. There's some practices. He's out there 60, 70 snaps. So he's a guy that's going to have a role in our defense, and he's going to have to play corner, safety, nickel. He's all over the place. But he likes football, and he likes to practice. So I think he's going to help us.
All right, final question. You are a big baseball guy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to slip up to Davenport Field from time to time?
You know, I have. I've only been up there twice so far this year. Yes, I enjoy baseball. You know, last year, obviously, I was there for the regional, a number of games. I think I've only been up four times this year. We are playing my alma mater, this weekend. So
big series.
Yeah, big series, and I'm sure I will make it up there. I know my wife and daughter and her boyfriend are planning on going to the game Saturday before the spring game. But, yes, I plan on being up there and rooting for Virginia, not the U.
Mike, thanks again for stopping by. I'll see you Saturday.
All right. Thanks, Jeff.
The gates open at Scott Stadium at 4 p.m., and the spring game starts at 6, which means fans can catch women's tennis, men's lacrosse, track and field, and baseball Saturday afternoon before heading over to the stadium for football. I'll be back next week with another Wahoo Central podcast. Until then, remember to check virginiasports.com for updates on all of our teams, and thanks for listening.